that in his medical opinion the wound was mortal, and that he witnessed with his own eyes Pendergast's submergence in the mire. It is the testimony of Inspector Balfour and others that the scene of the accident was fully investigated, and that the scant evidence found on the site was consistent with Dr. Esther Hazy's testimony. The inspector also testified that no body or effects were recovered, either from the mire or from the surrounding moorlands. It is Inspector Balfour's further testimony that, despite an exhaustive search of the neighbouring villages, no trace of Mr. Pendergast has been found, and no witnesses to either his living or dead person have come to light.
He glanced around the common room.
Under the circumstances, there are two possible verdicts that could be delivered consistent with the facts presented: involuntary culpable homicide or an open verdict. Involuntary culpable homicide is adjudged to be homicide, save for the fact that the mens rea for murder is not present. An open verdict is a verdict in which the cause and circumstances of death, or in this case even the fact of death, cannot be established at the present time.
He paused and scoured the courtroom again with a pair of cynical eyes.
Based on the testimony and evidence presented here today, I declare an open verdict in this case.
Excuse me, sir.
Balfour found that he was suddenly on his feet. I must protest that verdict. Ainsley looked toward him, frowning.
Inspector?
Balfour hesitated, tried to collect himself.
While the act in question may not have been murder, it was nevertheless caused by improper conduct. That argues strongly for a verdict of involuntary culpable homicide. We have Dr. Esther Hazy's own testimony to support that verdict. Negligence was clearly the overwhelming factor in this death. There isn't a scrap of evidence the victim survived the shooting, and overwhelming evidence he did not.
We do have that testimony, Ainsley said. But let me remind you, Inspector, we have no body. We have no corroborative evidence. All we have is the statement of a single eyewitness, and thus we have no independent evidence that anyone was actually killed. Therefore, this inquest has no choice but to render an open verdict.
Balfour remained standing. If there's an open verdict, I have no legal recourse for keeping Dr. Esther Hazy in Scotland.
If there is an objection, the coroner went on, you can always request a judicial review in divisional court.
A low muttering began to rise from the assembly. Balfour shot another glance at Esther Hazy. There was nothing he could do.
If that is all, Ainsley said, looking around sternly, I declare this inquest to be concluded.
Chapter 11. Inverkirkton, Scotland. The lone bicyclist pedalled with evident effort up the narrow, winding road. The black three-speed was fitted with a special rack over the rear fender, and it currently held leather panniers kept in place with bungee cords. The rider was dressed in a dark grey wind-cheater and dove-coloured corduroy trousers, and together with the black bicycle he formed a curiously monochromatic figure set against the gorse and heather of the Scottish hills. At the top of the hill, where a series of weathered boulders reared fang-like from the green firs, the road divided at a T-intersection. Here the rider stopped, dismounted, and, by all indications grateful for the rest, pulled a map from beneath his jacket, smoothed it over the seat, and began to study it leisurely. But inside, Judson Esterhazy felt anything but leisurely. He had lost his appetite. It was an effort to force down food. He constantly had to fight the urge to look over his shoulder. He couldn't sleep nights. Every time he closed his eyes, he saw Pendergast, mortally wounded, staring up at him from the mire, eyes glittering with implacable intensity. For the thousandth time, he bitterly reproached himself for leaving the FBI agent in the foul mire. He should have waited until the muck had totally consumed him. Why hadn't he? It was those eyes. He couldn't bear to look into those narrow silver eyes for one more second, staring back at him with the intensity of a scalpel. A pathetic and inexcusable weakness had overwhelmed him at the very moment of truth. Esterhazy knew that Pendergast was transcendentally resourceful. You have no idea, and I mean no idea, how dangerous this man Pendergast is. Hadn't those been his very own words half a year earlier? He's tenacious and clever. This time around, he's motivated, uniquely motivated. All Esterhazy's careful planning, and still no real closure. What a curse it was, not knowing. As he stood there, beside the bicycle, pretending to regard the map, the chill, damp breeze tugging at his trouser cuffs, he reminded himself that the wound was fatal. It had to be. Even if Pendergast had somehow managed to extricate himself from the mire, they should have discovered his corpse in their days and nights of careful searching. The most likely reason dragging the mire had failed was because Pendergast had somehow escaped the first mire, only to die in some thicket or get sucked down into another distant bog. But he didn't know, not for sure, and that was driving him mad. He had to learn the truth. The alternative, a lifetime of fear and paranoia, was simply not acceptable. After the inquest, he had departed Scotland in as high profile a manner as he could manage, being driven to Glasgow by a disgruntled Inspector Balfour himself. Now, a week later, he was back. He'd cut his hair short and dyed it black. He was wearing thick tortoiseshell glasses. He'd purchased a high-quality stage mustache. In the unlikely event that he ran into Balfour or any of his men, the chance of being recognized was virtually nil. He was simply another American tourist enjoying a late-year bicycle tour of the Highlands. Nearly 3 weeks had passed since the shooting. The trail, if there ever was one, was now cold. But it couldn't be helped. Before the inquest, he'd been kept under close observation, prevented from making private inquiries. He'd have to move as quickly as he could now, making sure no time was wasted. He had to prove to his own satisfaction that Pendergast had not survived, had not crawled out of the mire. If he could do that, then perhaps he could find peace. At last, he turned his attention to the map. He located his own position, located the peak of Bain.